Let's pray. Father, we open your word as we do many times. And we want you to teach us through your Holy Spirit. We want to learn great truths from your word about you. And we want to benefit from who you are, what you have promised. So we come with open hearts, open minds. Teach us. Excite us about your promises. In Christ we pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit is teaching us in these the passage that Raymond read for us earlier. And the whole book of Hebrews is teaching us we have a better covenant in Christ. Many of the Jews miss that. We won't miss it, will we? Only two people. Let me ask you again. Many of the Jews missed it. We won't miss it, will we? No, we won't. And here the Holy Spirit is presenting Christ as a better, as an ultimate, as a superior high priest in three specific ways. One, he is the guarantee. That makes him the eternal sacrifice, and he is holy and sinless. And if you've been here when we're studying Hebrews, you say, well, a lot of this sounds like the same thing over and over. How many of you think that? Well, if you've been paying attention, you would say, yeah. So let me ask you again, because you don't want to look like you haven't been paying attention. If you've been listening to the book of Hebrews, it seems as if this is repetitive over and over some of the same truths. Yeah. See, you've been paying attention. And the main truth of the book of Hebrews is that what we have in Christ is better than anything else. And the new covenant in Christ is much better than the old covenant, which was from God anyway. But each verse is teaching us greater truths about that great truth. If you jump way down to chapter 8, verse 1, the point of what we're saying is this. Gets to the point. What we have in Christ is better. First of all, look at verse 20 and 22. The guarantee of a better covenant. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath. But he became a priest, Christ, with an oath, when God said to him, the Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. God swore that Jesus would be a priest for how long? Forever. Guaranteed. You say, why does God have to give an oath? And we looked at that earlier in chapter 6. When God swears, you know, who's he going to swear by? You always swear by someone greater than yourself. So who does God swear by? He swears by himself. Now, if you swore by yourself, it might not be worth much. Hopefully it would, because your yes is your yes and your no is your no. But God never, mark this down, God never swore an oath to Aaron. You say, what does Aaron have to do with anything? Aaron, what was his brother's name? Moses. Aaron was of what tribe? The Levites. You can always remember that because they wore jeans. Mr. Bailey thought it was funny. Now I'm in big trouble. If he thought it was funny, the Levites became the priests of the old covenant. You had to be a Levite. We have learned that. You had to be a Levite to be a priest. But God never swore an oath to the Levites. Never. Never swore to Aaron that his priesthood would be forever. In fact, God never suggested that. Now, many of them thought it was, but God never swore an oath to them that it would be forever. He never swore to Aaron nor anyone else that the priesthood of the Levites would be anything but temporary. Imagine you get a job and you're working for a temp agency and they tell you this job is for 2 weeks. And so you go and work for 2 weeks. What will they do when your 2 weeks are up? They'll pay you. But suppose you like the job so well, after the 2 weeks are up, you just keep going. And you just keep going to work and they keep looking at you and they say, what are you doing here? Your job's done. You're over. Well, I like the job so much and I just feel so good about this job that I'm going to... Do you think they're going to pay you? You're done. Many of the Israelites thought that the priesthood with Aaron would be permanent. There was no promise that it ever would be. But in Christ, look again there, it was not without an oath. Other priests became priests without an oath. But Christ became a priest with what? With an oath. God swore. Not he cussed, but God said, I solemnly promise. Oath. As David, and there's quotes here from Psalm 110, you will be a priest in the same order as, and you've been here long enough, in the order of who? Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without beginning, without end, in that kind of order, a priest forever. Did God swear that? The answer is yes. Did God swear that Jesus would be a different kind of priest than the Aaron priest? Yes. And this is the third time, if you look at chapter 5, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 20, and then chapter 7, verse 17. And to make the point even more emphatic, David adds, look at verse 21, God will not change his mind. Does God change? Does God do things different ways? Yes. But when God raises his right hand and says, I do solemnly swear, is he ever going to change that? Ever? But there was never that promise to the Aaron priesthood, but it was to Christ. So guess what? If God raised his hand and said, I do solemnly swear, what's going to happen? When does Christ's priesthood run out? Never. Forever it will be. I will not change my mind. Now, David, who wrote Psalm 110 and the writer of Hebrews, is not saying that because God took an oath, it makes his word more reliable. I mean, isn't God's word valid without an oath? Yes. So why does God swear? Why does God take an oath? If God says something, it's true. That's a good question, isn't it? Ask yourself, if God says something's going to happen and God makes a promise, it will happen. Right? So why in this case does God take an oath? Does he need to? Then why does he? Well, I'll just leave you with that. See you next week. Important truth. Understand. When God makes an eternal transaction, when he's going to make something permanent, God has chosen to do so with an oath. It doesn't make his word more reliable, but he's emphasizing the permanence of it. How long would Aaron and his descendants be priests? Temporary. How long would Jesus be a high priest? Forever. Now, we've seen many times in our study of the book of Hebrews that the Levitical priests were temporary. It was also repetitive. They never ran out of a job. How often did they have to offer sacrifices? Over and over and over and over, and even for themselves before they could offer sacrifices for the people. And it was temporary in this fact as well. They were mortal. What happened to every priest in the Old Testament? They died. And so when they died, they had to be replaced. You didn't say, well, can't offer any more sacrifices. The priest died. Well, there was another priest to take his place. It was temporary because God said it was temporary. It was temporary because every priest died. They were all sinful. They had to offer sacrifices for themselves before the people, and their sacrifices were temporary. If you brought your animal for the priest to sacrifice in the temple, how long were you covered? How long were you covered? Until you sinned again. And how long would that be? And not very long. Not very, if you came to church and you said, oh, I'm covered because I came to church and I put money in the offering. I took the Lord's Supper. I even sang. I even looked interested when that guy was up there talking and it covered my sin. Would you need to come back by this evening? Oh, yeah. But Christ, once and for all, one sacrifice covered every sin. It is not repeated. It is not temporary. God planned and intended for the old to be that way. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't permanent. But the priesthood of Christ is. So what did God do? He swore by himself. Think back when God made the covenant with Abraham. Did he swear? Yes, he did. Don't shake your head. Go like this. Yes, he did. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by who? Himself. Now, go way back to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 16. The context of this passage is that Abraham has been told by God to take his son. What was his son's name? Isaac. And he was to take him to the mountain. And what was he supposed to do with Isaac? Sacrifice him. God is teaching Abraham a great lesson about God giving his only son. Did God require Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Let me put it this way, simply. Was Abraham sacrificed? Did Abraham sacrifice Isaac? No. What happened? God provided a ram in the bushes, a substitute. Does that remind you anyone who substituted their death for your sin? That's the context. Verse 15, Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. So let me ask you the question. When God made the promise to Abraham, did God take an oath? Obviously he did. Declares the Lord that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, because God knew his heart, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Who was the main offspring from Abraham that was our substitute? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God wanted Abraham and all the Jews and all of Israel, same thing, and eventually all of the world to know that this promise is permanent. Who is blessed through Abraham? Who is part of all nations? We are. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, an Aaron, a Levite. Who's blessed? Those that put their faith, like Abraham, in God and trust God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. God keeps his promise. The Messiah came through Abraham, and the blessings are for anyone who, like Abraham, put their faith in God. Jesus' priesthood. Do you see the difference here? Jesus' priesthood was based on an oath by God. And so it makes it eternal. It makes it unchangeable. Notice verse 12 of chapter 7. For when there's a change in the priesthood, there's a change in the law. In verse 18, which we looked at last week, the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by how we draw near to God. Why? Because of verse 18, the former regulation is what? Set aside. Something put in place of the other. Our priest, our high priest, Jesus Christ, is a priest for how long? And what's the back of that, the guarantee of that? As we saw last week, in an indestructible life, it is guaranteed, it is a surety of the better covenant. So, simple question. Is our relationship with God in the new covenant better than the old? Yeah, because the old was temporary. It could never really accomplish what it was supposed to. It was a picture of the one who was to come. As we said at the Lord's Supper, we have many guarantees given to us, warranties. And it's not worth the paper they're written on. This guarantee is worth the paper written on. It is backed by the blood of Christ. It's not a taillight guarantee. It's not a 30-day guarantee. Christ is our guarantee. And the Holy Spirit, as we see many places in Scripture, is the down payment. When you have a problem with something, where do you go to get the guarantee taken care of? The one who backs the guarantee. Our guarantee is backed by Christ, the best ultimate high priest. It is based on the oath of God. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. Christ is the guarantee. And it's important for us to remember, was the old covenant bad? No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, so God says, oh, that didn't work, so let's replace it and come up with something different. No, it was good. It was great. It was from God, but it was temporary. It was imperfect. It did what God intended it to do so that we would see the need for a permanent sacrifice, one who could really take away sin. The covenant God made with Moses, that was good. The Jewish nation, it was a God-given covenant, but only served its purpose to point to the coming of Christ. And it was temporary for how long? Did it run out? Absolutely. I'm not going to give you a figure, a number figure, but it was good as long as God intended it to be good. But it ran out till Christ came. The old was good. The new is better. But if you want to go back to the old covenant, you want to go back to that? Well, even if you wanted to, you couldn't. It's gone. It's obsolete. It doesn't work. And Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. He's a better priest, guaranteed of a better covenant. The old really never could provide you with eternal life. Don't you like the new, which does? Jesus is not just the mediator of a different covenant, even a better covenant. He guarantees the covenant. So let me ask you a question. Don't leave home without it. Who guarantees your covenant with God? Jesus Christ. He backs it. He guarantees to pay all of your debts. Wow. What debts does he pay? Well, I'm going to go buy a Mercedes and he'll pay it. No. He guarantees to pay all the debts that are charged to your account because of sin. Every sin you've ever committed. Every sin you are committing right now. I know what you're thinking. Why didn't that guy be quiet and get out of here? Every sin you plan to commit this afternoon, every sin you will commit as long as you live, he guarantees to pay every debt for every sin. That is good news. Every sin you have committed or ever will. Think of owing a great amount of money. How are you going to pay that? Well, I'll sell everything I got. Pay it off. Nah, not enough. I mean, everything. You don't know what stuff I've got. Everything I've got. Not enough. I'll serve him all of my life and never even think a bad thought ever again. Not good enough. But he guarantees to pay every debt you owe to God, charged to your account because of sin. You know, you buy those insurance policies, like for your mortgage. Mortgage insurance. If I get sick and I can't pay my house payment, then the insurance will kick in. Well, Jesus is better than Aflac, isn't he? Any duck. Every debt we've ever owed, every will owe, is paid by Christ.
And that makes him go on in Hebrews, our text this morning, verse 23. Now, there have been many other priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives how long? He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. If you go find an Old Testament priest, first of all, what are you going to find? If you go find an Aaron priest, a Levitical priest, what are you going to find? You go dig one up somewhere. He's dead. He's dead. What can a dead priest do for you? Nothing. What can a priest who lives forever do for you? He is not only the guarantee, he is eternal Savior. You see, the Levitical priest had the ultimate disqualification for permanent ministry. What was it? Death. Death. They're all going to die. They all died. No priest could serve indefinitely. And we've already learned in our study of Hebrews that a priest under the old covenant, how long could he serve? How many years could a priest under the old system serve? I hear a lot of different. Sounds like an auction. How long could a priest under the old system serve? We already studied that. It's written down in Numbers. I know it was probably before Christmas, so we're having trouble remembering that far back. It was last year. How long could he serve? 25 years. He could not start serving as a priest until he was 25. And when he got 50, he's done. He had to. And if you said, well, we like priest so-and-so, and he's pretty good. And I know he's 51, but he's such a good priest. Can we keep him? No. 25 years. Never intended to be permanent. And even if that law wasn't there by God, he was going to die. Christ lives forever. Permanent. The Old Testament priest had the ultimate disqualification. They died. They couldn't serve indefinitely. They died. If I said to you, I am going to be the pastor at Valley Christian Church forever, what would you say? Amen? I don't want to hang around forever. I'm going to die. I'm going to heaven. And you won't be here either. Death disqualifies a permanent priesthood. I want to take you to this dramatic illustration of that. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 22. The context of this passage is that the people of Israel are traveling in the wilderness. Who is their leader? Who is their leader for 40 years in the wilderness? His name starts with an M and ends with an S. What's his name? Moses. Moses, a great man? Yes. Every Jew connected Moses with what? With God, but what about God specifically? In the New Testament, when they said, Moses and the prophets, Moses and the prophets, what were they talking about? The law. Who gave the law? God did. Was the law good? Absolutely. Can the law save you? No. What does the law do for you? It convinces you you're a sinner because you break the law. God ordained the law. Doesn't mean we're free to go and break the law. But the law, can the law save you? Can you keep the law by living perfectly in accordance with the law? If that were so, how many of us would make it? The law convinced you you needed someone else to pay for your sin because I can't do it. The law brought me to Christ. And so if you keep the law pretty good, you're still condemned because you broke it.
Some of it. And if you kept the law pretty good, if I kept the law better than Edmund kept the law, what am I filled with? Pride. I'm doing better with the law than Edmund is. And Edmund says, no, I'm doing... It causes pride or guilt. It beats us up. So, Moses is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness under God's direction. And what was his brother's name? Aaron. And when they hear the name Aaron, if they think of law when they hear Moses, what do they think of when they hear Aaron? Priest. Because Levi, descendants of Aaron, were the priests. Now, catch this. Verse 22. The whole Israelite community set out from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. At Mount Hor, near the border of Edom, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Aaron will be gathered to his people. That's a synonym for what? Think of your Old Testament reading. If it says so-and-so was gathered to their people, that was a euphemism for what? Died. So let's read it that way. Aaron is going to die. He will not enter the land I gave the Israelites. Uh-oh. Aaron is not going to the promised land. Did Moses go to the promised land? No. And God says, why? Because both of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. You have to read that on your own. Get Aaron and his son Eleazar and take them up to Mount Hor. Remove Aaron's garments and put them on his son Eleazar. For Aaron will be gathered to his people or he will die. He's going to die up there. Can you imagine? Aaron, Moses, Aaron, get your son, Eleazar. We're going up on the mountain. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to take your clothes off. Well, what are you talking about? Oh, would you go up to the mountain with me, Aaron? We're going to take your clothes off because you're going to die up there. Would you want to go? Moses did as the Lord commanded. They went up Mount Hor in the sight of the whole community. Moses removed Aaron's garments. I can imagine having a younger brother and you say, brother, take your clothes off. You know, older brothers have a lot of power, don't they? And Aaron died there on top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Why did Eleazar come down and not his dad, Aaron? He died. He's dead. And when the whole community learned that Aaron had died, the entire house of Israel mourned for him 30 days. What does that story tell you? Moses go to the promised land? No. Aaron go to the promised land? No. Aaron, you're a great priest. But there's going to be a successor, and it's going to be your son, and then your son's son. But like your brother Moses, you're not going into the promised land. Moses represents the law. Aaron represents the priesthood. Which one is permanent? Neither one. Neither one. Christ, on the other hand, go back to Hebrews. Look at verse 16. One had become a priest not on the basis of a regulation of his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. He lives forever. Verse 24, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Permanent. You know, a lot of things in life we think are permanent that aren't. But when God raises his hand and says, I do solemnly swear, it is eternal. The word permanent there literally means it cannot be changed. God will not change his mind. It cannot be anything but permanent. Listen, Jesus Christ is the last high priest. The ultimate. There's not going to be another one. His priesthood is not going to run out. He is the last high priest. No other high priest will be needed.
He took care of it all. And so look at verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save how? Completely. Those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Completely. How much does Christ save you? Halfway? And then you got to earn your rest of it? He's just a down payment, then you got to make the rest of the payments? Sorta? Have you ever heard someone say, she's a little pregnant? I remember going into the Navy recruiter's office. That's before I spent my 50 years in the Navy. I went to the Navy recruiter's office because it was in the great city of Hobbs, New Mexico. And the Navy recruiter went to our church, and he was one of my youth sponsors. And I remember going in there one time to visit with, his name was Terry. And a father came in and wanted to sign his son up for the Navy. And Terry says, where's your son? Why do you want to sign him up? He says, well, he got a girl a little pregnant, so we need to get him out of here. I mean, how can you be a little pregnant? Either you are or you're not. You can be sort of full. You can be sort of hungry, but you cannot be sort of saved. Either you are saved or you are not saved. There's no middle ground. And Christ saves completely. How much is completely? Completely, I'm not a master of the English language, but I think completely means completely. That means he takes care of all my sin. Not, Morgan, you sinned and Christ died for this, but he can't take care of this. No, he saves completely. Oh, I'll trust him to take me to heaven, but I don't trust him right now. Uh-oh. He saves completely. In Christ, you are saved. Out of Christ, you're not saved. That verse 25 is a beautiful verse, isn't it? Able to save completely. It's like John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Back in verse 19, he says, draw near to God. Here in verse 25, look at it closely. Those who come to God, how? Through him. Is there any other way? No. That's it. And I know you say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded. Well, that's what God says. You come to God through Christ. There's no other door. There's no other option. There's no other deal. Through Christ, he saves you completely. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these words reminding us of truths we know, but a little deeper insight unto these great truths of our salvation, of our great high priest, of how we can have forgiveness, of how we can draw near to you and nearer and nearer and nearer only through Christ. Thank you for saving us completely. Thank you that you always live to intercede on our behalf, for being an eternal Savior and the guarantee of the whole deal. And it's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.